We continue our learning. We're in Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Ein bein Yom Tov la Shabbos, elo ochel nefesh bilvad. Mishnah says there's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos except ochel nefesh. So what does that mean? It sounds like it's saying that the only thing I'm allowed to do on Yom Tov that I can't do on Shabbos is cook or do the malachos that are related to preparation of food. We've mentioned them and we learned beitzah, shchita, let's say, lisha, kneading with the K, baking, cooking, havar, igniting a fire from an existing flame, a hotzah. So these are the activities that are allowed to be done for ochel nefesh purposes. Now, we may remember that that Beis Hillel really expanded this idea, and based on the concept of mitoch shehutra, let's say havar letzorach ochel nefesh, hutra nami shelo letzorach ochel nefesh, that you can ignite a fire from an existing flame even for a non-ochel nefesh purpose, as long as it has some yom tov need. I'm allowed to carry, I'm allowed to do hotzah, according to Beis Hillel. I'm allowed to carry a machzor or a shul through Rosh Hashanah Rabim on Yontif, even though that's not food. And therefore, many claim that this Mishnah, the author of this Mishnah, that says, Ein bein Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh b'vad, is authored by Beis Shammai, who says, really, the only difference is ochel nefesh, because the Beis Shammai does not accept the concept of mitoch. And then the Mishnah says, Ein bein Shabbos l'yom ha-kippurim, ela shezeh zidono bidei adam, v'zeh zidono b'kores. And you want to know the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur? Very little. The only difference is the punishment. When it comes to Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur, it may be considered a yontif, but there's no ochel nefesh allowed. You're not allowed to cook and bake on Yom Kippur. We don't eat on Yom Kippur. So all the malachos that are prohibited on Shabbos are prohibited on Yom Kippur. The only difference is that the severity of Yom Kippur is not to the same extent as Shabbos. And therefore, if you do something memazid on Shabbos, yuchayev misa bidei adam, by misa's based in yuchayev skila. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, you're not chayav misas based in at all. You're chayav kares. If you were warned, maybe you would get malchus. There's some discussion about that. But you go kares. The issue is that's bidei shamayim, as opposed to Shabbos, where if you're not warned, then indeed you incur the penalty of kares. But if you are warned, a proper warning for that, if you do this malacha, you're going to get skila, so you get skila, get misas basin, which is not true for Yom Kippur. This is all reflected, the Gemara says, in the aliyos that we have. A typical day we have three aliyos, three psukim each, although we're supposed to have really 10 psukim if we can. Though we have an exception of Ayavo Malik per morning, we only have 9 psukim, but an aliyah is supposed to have 3 psukim, and we have 3 aliyos on a typical day on a Monday and Thursday. If it's Chol HaMoed, now where the only work we're allowed to do is for Davar HaAved, or if there's the potential financial loss involved, maybe some other exceptions where you can go to work, but many people are not going to work, so we don't mind extending the laning a little bit. Same thing is true of Rosh Chodesh, which is a yontif for women, designated for women. Also, we don't rush out of shul as well. On Rosh Chodesh, we have an extra aliyah. Yom Tov, which is even higher. Yom Tov, there's not allowed to do malacha at all. Can't go to work at all on Yom Tov, so we can extend the laning on Yom Tov, an extra aliyah, 5 aliyahs. Yom Kippur, which is higher yet, because the malachos of ochel nefesh are not allowed on Yom Kippur. So, 6 aliyahs. And Shabbos, where, as our Mishnah says, is the most severe. That's reflected in the extra aliyah because there's the chiyuv skila, which we don't have when it comes to Yom Kippur. Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, Ein Bein Hamudar Hana, another Ein Bein Hamudar Hana Mechavero, Lamudar Mimenu Machal, Eladrisas Haregel, Bekelim She'ein Osin Bahem Ochol Nefesh. Okay, a lot to say here. Someone who's Mudar Hana means the following. Let's say you have Ruvain. Ruvain says to Shimon, listen, I am making a neder, I'm upset with you, and everything that I own is usher to you. You can't get any benefit from what I have, from what I own. Or he could say, I'm not mudar hana from you, but I'm mudar machal, meaning all of the food that I have, you cannot get any benefit from the food that I have. What's the difference between mudar hana and mudar mimenu machal? So the Mishnah says, number one is drisas haregel. Can Shimon walk into Ruvain's chatzer? So if he's mudar hana, so then he cannot, because he's gaining benefit from walking into the chatzah, so that would not be allowed. That would be against the neder. But if he's only mudar machal, only mudar food, so then he would be able to go into Reuven's chatzah. And then the other on the list are kelim, are vessels that you don't ein osin b'hem ochal nefesh, that you don't use for ochal nefesh. Vessel, let's say a chair, that's not ochel nefesh. Forks and spoons and pots and pans and the like, dishes. So those are kelim that you do ochel nefesh with. But kelim that you don't do ochel nefesh with, he would be able to borrow. So that means that a mudar hana mechavera wouldn't be able to borrow a chair, let's say. So Shimon wouldn't be able to borrow a chair from Reuven if Reuven was mudar hana from Shimon. But if he's mudar machal only, then he can borrow the chair. Now, the Gemara does say, though, that if the halacha is, if the case is that people typically rent out these items, so let's say, for example, let's say people rent out chairs, they rent out tables. So that's not ochel, those aren't ochel nefesh kelim, but nonetheless, if Reuven would rent them out, he would gain money. The fact that he's lending them to Shimon means that he's not making money. Now, what would Reuven do with that money? Potentially go to the supermarket and he would buy food. So the halacha is that someone who is mudar machal would not be able to borrow these kalim if these are kalim, that even if though it's a chair, it's not a food item, it's not a food kli, but it's something that would typically be rented out. Since Reuven, if he would profit from a rental, he'd be able to use that money to buy food. That's considered, since it's hana hamaviyah lidei machal, it's considered hanas machal, and it's not allowed. Bar Tanur says that, and the Mishnah Nedarim in the fourth parak as well. Then the Mishnah concludes, ein bein Nedarim l'nedavos. There's no difference between Nedarim and Nedavos. So let's explain. A neder is where a person takes upon himself hare alai karbon. I take upon my hare alai ola, hare alai shlomim. I take upon myself to bring a karbon ola. And then what happens? And then I find an animal and I designate this animal now as my karbon ola kol shlomim. And what happens to it? It dies or gets stolen or I lose it. So what's the halacha? I am chayav ba'achra yusan. I am responsible to replace that because I took upon myself a neder to bring an animal. I didn't designate an animal. I'm bringing this animal. I first said I'm taking upon myself, and then I found an animal. But a nedava, where you say harezu ola, harezu shlomim, where you point to the animal, this is going to be a carbon. And what happens? It gets lost. It gets stolen. I don't have to replace it. Eino chayav ba'achra yusan. Nedavos eino chayav ba'achra yusan, because that's not around anymore. I didn't take upon myself. I just designated this animal as a holy carbon. And if it's not around anymore, I have no obligation to replace it. The Gemara does say, though, that the halacha of Baal Ta'acher, of ensuring that we don't delay in the bringing of the neder or the nedava, that is equal for both. The nedarim and nedavos are equal because the pasuk says in Parshas Ki Tsetzeh regarding a neder and the iser of Baal Ta'acher of not delaying, ki sidur neder la'ashem elokecha lo se'acher l'shalamo. Don't bring it late. Motzas v'asecha teshmor v'asisa. Should keep, make sure that you guard that which comes out of your mouth. Kasher nadarta l'ashem elokecha nidava. Asher dibarta b'ficha. You paid careful attention. You see, kasher nadarta and the word nidava. Asher dibarta b'ficha. Both neder and nidava are found in this pasuk that speaks about Baal Ta'acher. And therefore, the Isra of Baal Ta'acher will apply to both, even apply to nidava. You have to bring it, obviously. If it's lost, you'd have to bring it. But if you took upon yourself in a dove and the animal's still here, you have to bring it within that time. What is that time frame? So that's a machlokas chachamim Rabbi Shimon in the Darim. According to the chachamim, it's shalosh regalim. Once three regalim pass, even out of any particular order, so now already you violate a Baal Ta'acher. Obviously, you want to bring it as soon as you can. But once the three regalim pass, so then you're in violation of Baal Ta'acher. And according to Rabbi Shimon, no, it's the regalim kisidron. It's only when they're in their order. What's the order of the regalim? Pesach is first. Nisan is the Chodesh HaRishon. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So that once you pass those three in order, then you violate Baal Tacher. So if a person took upon himself a neder or a davar to bring a carbon, let's say a few days after Pesach, so he has a lot of time. He has five regalim. He has Shavuos and Sukkos. And then the months, kisidron, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos.